WKRP Live with Cedric Miller has a desire to transport their listeners to a world of thought upon issues like Christian values, the appeal of Christianity, contracts with God, tenement stories, and so much more. Cedric Miller will be interviewing up-and-coming gospel artists, pastors and community leaders, and people just like you. We're going to figure out, together, what the heck is really going on in society today. It's an open forum, and call-ins are encouraged, so tune in and become a part of the discussion at the global table, where all points of view are considered.
All right. And hi, you're listening to WKRP Live Talk Radio, and I'm your host, C. Miller. And today we have a very special guest, a very special and anointed guest, pastor of Miracle Deliverance Temple and station manager of TBN, Trinity Broadcasting Network. His name is Mr. Aaron Monley, which will be here shortly. But today I would like to dedicate this program to two special people that I lost, one over the weekend and one before. Their name is was my cousin, and her name was Norma Jean Chapman. She passed. And my other aunt, Aunt Janice Jones, will be well missed. And I know they're right there in the bosom of the Lord's care. And I dedicate this program to them. And I thank you all for being loyal listeners to listening to me in my first broadcast. And now with that being said, we're going to talk to a great pastor as well as a great friend, a man who does things just at the will of God and taking upon his own behalf to go and do things out of the heart and kindness, you know, the anointing that God has put over his life to be a pastor and a leader of a church and also to be station manager of Trinity Broadcasting Network, which he has an awesome testimony. But I'm going to let you all hear it from him. And I'm going to turn over to my guest, Mr. Aaron Motley.
How are you doing, God, Aaron? God bless you. Thank you so much, Cedric, for inviting me to be a part of your program on today. It's a real honor. And I tell you, there are so many things that God is doing and directing our lives and ordering our steps. You know, we just have to take a day at a time and just see what is the Lord going to have for us on that day. So I call it our daily bread. So he gives us manna for each day. And so we take that manna and go with it. So thank you again for this opportunity, perhaps, to share a word that would be encouraging to someone on today.
Oh, man, yeah, no doubt. And also, let the people know about a special event that you have, the Run for Jesus, this month. Tell the listeners about what all that entails, and you can tell them better in detail about what you're doing and what the goal you're trying to achieve with this. Go ahead, Aaron.
Yes. Well, this month we are having the Run for Jesus for the second time. That's going to be on Saturday the 26th, next weekend, and we are encouraging everyone to come and be a part of that. The Run for Jesus actually is a health and fitness promotion for the body of Christ, because so oftentimes we see people who are getting in the healing line every week, and there's a lot of hurts, a lot of pains, a lot of sickness in the church.
Yes.
And, you know, we really talk about how Jesus is the healer. And and we believe him to be the healer, and he certainly is, and he's doing miracle healings all the time. But, you know, we don't always need a miracle. Sometimes it's a matter of us living a healthy life. And if we learn to take the steps to be healthy, we won't need the miracle healings all the time. So this really got started a few years ago at our church as we were doing a health and healing conference, and I began to realize that we can do some things for ourselves to just change our lifestyles and begin to live better so that we can be healthy for Christ and living the life on this earth as long as we need to live it, as long as the Lord wants us to be here, we can be healthy or as healthy as we can be to do His perfect will on the earth. And so we started doing this. It's really a fun day. We did it out at Gateway Park here in Montgomery in 2014. And this year we're going to do it on the 11 acres that the Lord allowed us to acquire, which is really right off of the Court Street and also between Patton Avenue and Delano Avenue here in Montgomery. And so there we're going to have this this picnic. That's really what it is. It's a church picnic where we invite people, not just our church, but from all over the Montgomery area and surrounding areas to come and to participate. We're going to have a 1 mile run walk, I call it. Most people may walk, and quite a few people will do the run just to get out there at 9 a.m. And we're going to do a run around the perimeters of the property. And it's about a mile. It's not quite a mile. But some people might decide they want to go a little bit longer, so they go around it more than one time if they want to. That's fine. But we've started off with that, and, you know, we'll do some exercises, and then we'll come back under the tent and listen to some health and fitness experts while we're drinking water and juice and planning the food for that day, which is going to be healthy food, things that we can eat and prepare it in a healthy way. And so our health and fitness experts are going to talk to people about diabetes and about prevention of certain diseases like high blood pressure and problems that we have in our communities that so many people seem to be plagued with. But there are some things that we can do for ourselves to prevent some of these diseases and the you know, the pains and troubles that we have with these diseases that may even stem to something else later on. But it was really great a couple of years ago when we did that, where people were listening to and asking questions about their health and getting some information that they could take with them and use it every day. So,
you know, that is so great. You know, I was just thinking about what you were saying to me, because of my aunt and the one that previously passed, they had health issues, man. One was a diabetic and going through certain things, and you know, not going and get adequate help at that proper time, we prolong things. And this is great to hear about, because even myself, you know, like you were saying, the run for Jesus, I don't need to run, but I'll probably walk some and run.
Get around there as best you can. people are on different levels, so we understand that. My mother, who is 85 years old, and she plans to be out there. She was out at the last event, and she says she's not going to run around there, but she's going to actually be out there to support health and fitness, because she's gone through quite a bit in her life, and she's bounced back. I mean, God really healed her of cancer. She had stage 4 liver cancer just about 2 years ago, and the Lord healed her of that. And she had other health issues that she's overcome, and you should see her now. She's moving around better than a lot of the younger people, but she has really done the things that were necessary to change her lifestyle and to change her health situation. And so she's an inspiration for a lot of folks. And so she's expecting to be out there herself.
That's a great thing, man. And right now, you hold that thought, because right now, when we come back, I want you to tell people, also talk to us about the God-given call that was the call that God gave you upon your life, and how you, well, the story you were telling me about how you received the call, you know, and because a lot of us, when God wants to use us, we think that we're inadequate. You know, we think, not me, I can't do this, there's no way. But the testimony you gave is awesome. I want my listeners to hear that as well. And right when we come back with after this commercial break, we're going to dab into that. And we're going to take a break right now, but we'll be right back. WKRP Live.
So let your power fall when your name is called. Prove the doubters wrong. Lord, you're still mighty and strong. So fight this battle for me and help my unbelief, so I can tell all my friends that you have won again. So let your power fall.
All right. We're back with WKRP Live Talk Radio. And my special guest is Mr. Aaron Motley. All right, Mr. Aaron, as I was saying, you have a blessed testimony. And I just want my listeners to hear basically how you told me about the calling God has for you and other things. I'm going to let you better explain it because it's your testimony. But I pray that everyone be attentive because God is speaking through him for somebody who's going through the same thing. You go ahead, Mr. Mark. Pastor Mark.
All right. There are many areas that I could start from as far as the testimony, but of course I can just go back to my childhood. I was raised in church, a really good Baptist church back in Otagaville, Alabama, and raised basically as an only child. While my mother raised me up in church. But you know how you can be in church, but church is not in you.
Amen. Yeah, tell me about it.
But nevertheless, the training that she gave me was really to put me in front of the crowd of people. And I was really shy and withdrawn. I did not like it. I didn't like it then. I don't like it now necessarily. Just getting in front of people is not something that I get excited about doing. But just to please her and what she wanted me to do at the time, she liked for me to get out there and have these long Easter speeches. And so I didn't realize that would prepare me for public speaking or getting me before people for a reason. I did it, and I was able to, for them, I was articulating well at the age of 4, 5, 6 years old, and people used to enjoy having little children to come out and make those little Easter speeches and then doing many things in front of the crowd of people at the time. Again, around 12 years old, they actually had me as the assistant superintendent of the Sunday school. That wasn't something that I was wanting to do or looked to do, but they put me there in that position. And at the time, I didn't see this as something God was doing or God was preparing me for something, but I do believe that going through those kinds of things, you know, God was preparing me, but at the time, I didn't see it as that. I did actually get baptized in the church at 12 years old, but I don't think I really had what I would see today as a strong relationship with the Lord because I didn't know that that was what was required. I was taught or understood that all you do is join the church and get baptized in water and you're okay.
And there it is. Yeah. I'm same thing, but I didn't know that's not the case.
You know, I thought, well, okay, as long as I'm doing more good things than bad things, I'll be all right. And still in my heart, I knew something wasn't exactly right. Because even going into my teen years, there was a time of rebellion, a time of even doubting God, or I believed he existed, and I continued to go to church, and that was just a traditional thing that I would do, is go to church and stay involved in church. But again, it took going through that time in my life and then going into the military, trying to discover who I am. You know, I thought that, well, I want to make a man out of myself, so I'm just going to go get in the Marine Corps. That's what I did.
Okay.
And I figured, well, if anybody can make a man out of me, the Marine Corps certainly.
The Marine Corps, okay.
and really, it was helpful in learning a lot of things, in strengthening my confidence. But my confidence in God was not there. I knew still something was missing. And so when I went to college and I saw young people around the same age I was, and they really had a strong commitment to God, I was invited to a Bible study. And that's where I saw that these young people who were praying like they knew God personally, they knew the Bible back and forward. And I thought I knew the Bible, but oftentimes during the Bible discussions, I'd open my mouth to say something and just embarrass myself because I, you know, somebody would correct me and say, no, that's not what it says, you know. Yeah. And so it would be embarrassing moments there because I thought I knew something. Well, I think this was the point where God was really beginning to show me that it's time to make some changes in your life. And now, I wasn't the kind of person who would go out and get high and get drunk, or I didn't do those kinds of things. I did like to go to parties. I did like to dance. But
hey, who does?
I just didn't have a desire to get involved in drugs and alcohol. So
same
some people
here.
Would say,
same
well,
here.
that's not much of a testimony then. Well, it is, but because the real problem with me was I had a religious spirit. I thought that just being religious was okay. And I was really religious, but I was a strong sinner all at the same time, not knowing that the real connection with God is having a right relationship with him and having his spirit to live in us, where those things I did not understand, but I kept going to those Bible studies and watching Amen. These other young people, and I knew there was something different in them. And so I was really at first kind of trying to compete with them as far as Bible knowledge, because I had some Bible knowledge, even though I didn't know the application of the knowledge I had. So I went out and bought a Bible. I had just a few dollars. In fact, I had about $11 in my pocket, and I did not own a good Bible. I saw these young people with Bibles, with Bible covers, and they just love their Bibles. And I said, I don't have a Bible like that, so maybe that'll help me. So I'm just going to go out and buy a Bible like what they have. So I had about $11 in my pocket, and I went to a store called Fred's. And this was back in 1981, and I saw this Bible for, what, $11,
okay.
All I had. And I purchased that Bible, and I didn't know the difference in the Bibles. You know, there are a lot of, you know, some people would open up a Bible and they say, well, I have the NIV and I have, New American Standard Version, you know, various Bibles that they would pull out. And I didn't know there was such a difference in the Bible. I didn't know the difference between King James and Prince Albert. So,
man, what you say, I'm the same way. I wonder, because, you know, excuse me for saying, but I'm like, there are so many. It's confusing almost to me. I'm like, okay, but King James Version, I believe, is supposed to be the more basic Bible for the for me as well. That's just my thing. There are a lot of them.
They use more traditionally and quote from the most, and it is the authorized version, of course. But nevertheless, when I bought that Bible, it had on the cover Living Bible. And
okay.
I said, well, that sounds good, Living Bible. I'd rather have a Living Bible than a dead Bible. So when I bought the Bible, I committed to reading it every night. because, again, I was really trying to get some knowledge because these people were so good at what they were doing. And I said, well, I want to compete with them. That was really my attitude at first. I wanted to be able to have the knowledge that they had. So I wanted to get involved in the discussion. So every night I would read that Bible. Now, it was a living Bible. I wasn't familiar with it being a paraphrase. So I read and read and read, and after a few months, I had actually read through the Bible. And because I read it every night, and I read a lot of scripture each night. But being that it was the paraphrased version, it was easy to read. And so I read and read and read, and then I got to a place, and I was in the book of Acts, and I stopped, and I pushed the Bible back as I was sitting there at a desk in my dorm room, and I looked up and I said, God, if you're the same God that I'm reading about that's in this book, in this Bible, then make yourself real to me.
Yeah.
And that was really a prayer that I think that just changed my life, because I meant exactly what I said. As I was reading through the Bible, I really saw something that I'd never seen before all my life. And that is that God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And I asked him to make himself real to me. And in just a few months, the person who was leading the Bible study, he graduated. Yeah. And so they needed somebody. They said, is there anybody who can continue to lead the Bible study? David is graduating, and so nobody volunteered. And myself and one of my good friends who started going to the Bible study with me, we said, well, why not we trade out? You lead the study 1 week, I'll lead the study the next week. And I agreed to do that. Now, neither one of us were born again at the time, but we were leading Bible studies.
Okay.
We were leading Bible studies, and we didn't know the Lord. But we were into the letter of the word. But nevertheless, one night that I was leading the Bible study, I was doing a study from 1 Corinthians chapter 12 about the gift of the Spirit in the body of Christ. And as I was finishing up that Bible study, and we had crowds of students coming. I mean, there was a large crowd there that night. But there was a man there for the first time, and he sat somewhat quietly through the Bible study. And so he was just sort of lingering back when most everybody was leaving. And my cousin was there, and she was sitting across from me, and she was just started to crying. And while she was there crying, I didn't know what she was crying about, and I asked her what was wrong, and she said, I want to be saved. And when she said that, I didn't know what to do. So this young man who had come there for the first time, he said, is it all right if I pray for her, brother? And I say, oh, yeah, go ahead and pray. So as he prayed for her, he asked her to repeat some words after him and to pray a prayer after him to receive Jesus Christ into her heart. And when she did that, she just started laughing and praising God and lifting her hands. And I said, I know she's never done that before. I know her, and she don't act like that. And so my other friend who was leading Bible study with me, taking turns, where he said, would you pray with me too? And so the young man prayed with him, and he did the same thing. When he prayed with him, and my friend Kerry, he lifted his hands in the air and just began to just shout and praise God and said, thank you, Jesus, thank you, Jesus. I said, wait a minute. I know he don't act like that. He goes to the parties with me. And I know, he likes the party more than I do. I said, I know something's going on here. And so while they were lifting their hands and praising the Lord, I tapped this fellow on the knee and I said, hey, I'll help what they're having.
I know, right?
So he prayed with me, and I received the Lord right there that night, just asking Jesus to come into my heart and make me a brand new person. And I know it was real because the first thing I did was I got on the phone and I called my parents up and I told them that I received the Lord. And I don't know exactly how to explain this, but something new has happened to me. And I went around to dorm rooms and knocking on people's doors and telling them they need to be in Bible study because something new has happened. Yeah. I didn't know how to explain that and didn't realize how scriptural that was when, you know, the word tells us how important it is to believe in your heart, but also to confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord. And that's what I set out to do, was to just let people know. I felt like I was supposed to tell everybody that Jesus really is real. And he had made himself real to me just by me praying that prayer and asking him sincerely to come into my heart and make me brand new. So that was the beginning of my walk with the Lord. And I got up out of bed one morning after that, and I was just crying on the floor and just, you know, really just weeping. Well, like I couldn't stop. And I got up and I took everything that was in my possession that I thought could be a stumbling block to me, and I placed it all in a big black garbage bag. And, I mean, there were books, there was tapes, there was all kinds of things, even clothing items. And I placed it in a big garbage bag, and I looked around to see if there was anything else. And I went out to the garbage dumpster, and I threw it over into the garbage dumpster. And as I turned to walk away, I just heard this thud. It just went thong, like that. And as I was walking away, I just started laughing. And it was like I couldn't stop laughing. And the reason I was laughing, I think, is because I knew I wasn't going to turn around and go back to get it. And the Lord was showing me that if I can walk away from that, I have sacrificed something for him. Because what I threw away was really valuable, and I never really told anybody exactly what all was in there. But it was stuff that I knew that if I were going to backslide, I'd go back to those things. And so as I turned to walk away from that garbage dumpster, I started laughing, knowing that I wasn't going to go back in there to get it, because they had already emptied the garbage dump, that garbage cans that day, and that was the only thing that was in that dumpster. So if I had turned around to go back to get it, I'd have to crawl over inside the dumpster to get it. And there were too many people around that would see me going inside the dumpster. So I knew I wasn't going to go inside that dumpster to get that stuff. So from that point on, I knew I had just given up another life and gave my life completely to the Lord. And I wanted to be completely committed, because anytime I commit myself to something, I want to stick with it. And so that was in 1982. When that happened, I got the Bible in 81, so it was April of 1982 when I got born again, gave my life to the Lord, and threw away the old life, and I've been walking with the Lord since then.
Hey, man, that is so awesome, and you know, that reminds me, like you said, you threw away the stuff in a can, and just like you just can't look back, because if you do, you're going back to the same stuff that you got delivered from. And you made a commitment and also a point, because anybody can see, they're like, what is he doing going to get garbage? Going to get garbage. And it reminds me in the Bible when it says, you don't cast your pearls among swine and different things. And also it's like a dog going back to their own vomit. You know, you're going back to the stuff that you picked up, you know. And that's amazing, man, because I've been there, and I totally understand some things of the world that we don't want to give up, but we have to if you want to be in Christ, because you become made whole, a new creation in God. And that is an awesome testimony. But I tell you what, we're going to take a commercial break here shortly, and when we come back, I want to talk about the your church and also the TBN experience, how God blessed you there, put you there. And right after this commercial break, we will talk about that. You're listening to KRP Live. All right.
So let your power fall when your name is called. Prove the doubters wrong. Lord, you're still mighty and strong.
All right. We're back for WKRP Live Talk, and I am Cedric Miller, your host. Well, again, with my special guest, Mr. A. Ramon. And I'm gonna do a short commercial. I'm gonna do a plug for a Swamp Magazine. Swamp Magazine is Saints with a Mission Purpose. It's a magazine that is a godly magazine, excuse me. And the editor in chief is Miss Pamela Swinger. And the magazine, it's not just a magazine, it's a ministry. It has highlights of pastors, preachers, up-and-coming gospel artists, and different things. And if I would, folks, let me tell you, you need to get this magazine because it has a kids ministry inside of it. And it also talks about miracles that have happened in people's lives. So remember, you can go to Swamp Magazine. Her name is Pam Swinger. If you want this magazine, I'll give you her direct number. It's area code 334-233-3003. That's area code 334-233-3003. And her name is Ms. Pam Sweeney. She's the editor-in-chief of Swamp Magazine. All right. Now we're going to talk to my friend and my man, Dr. Aaron Motley, because he has his doctorate. He's Dr. Aaron Motley. God is just doing great things with this man of God. And we want to talk now, Aaron, about, like I was saying before, about your church and what God has the vision for you all to do in such a time as this, and also about TBN. How God opened the doors for you there. So go ahead, Mr. Motley.
Well, you're basically getting into my whole life story, I guess.
A little dabble, do you?
Well, I can only talk about a little bit, I guess, in this short period of time, but just to kind of really
get
into it. Because what happened, I did mention a little bit about the military. When I was in the National Guard in the 90s, I was deployed to go over to Saudi Arabia during the first Persian Gulf War. It was Desert Storm. And after doing Bible studies for about 10 years or so, I didn't know that I was actually operating in the pastoral gift. And, you know, at the time, I didn't even see it as that. In fact, I didn't even want to be a pastor. I was enjoying just teaching Bible studies. And so that was where I was content. But while I was in the military there, and I had prayed, and I know as I look back now and think about sometimes we'll pray things and we're not realizing what we're praying. And I said, Lord, you know, what you're doing anywhere in the world, I want to be right in the midst of a powerful move of God. And I had prayed that before. And so next thing I know, I'm on a plane headed to Saudi Arabia. And this happened during that particular time. And I thought I was going there because of the war. But actually, when I got there and found that there were soldiers from Germany and other places around the world, from the United States, but they were stationed in different areas. And we were all in one location waiting for our time to go out into the desert to our designated area to serve in the various places where we were going to serve. But anyway, we ended up being in this location where there were some abandoned apartments, and we were stationed there. And when I got there the very first night, I heard people singing and giving praise to God. I didn't know where that sound was coming from. I thought somebody had a radio or a recording somewhere, and I kept listening to it, and someone said, hey, Motley, this sounds like you're kind of carrying on. I said, what are you talking about? And they said, look downstairs. And I saw in a park area where there were probably about 400 people in uniform. Praising the Lord and just having church. And I asked my commander if I could go and be a part of that. And he said, you know, we're on free time now. You could go down there. So I went down there and maybe a couple of other people in my unit, and sure enough, they were having revival. And they did this every night at around the same time. Even times when Scud missiles were going off, they just put on their mop gear and prepare for anything, and the Patriot missiles were knocking them down. So none of them ever hit that area. We just continued to have church every night. And from that experience, once you know, different people would conduct a service, and there were many preachers out there. Well, I had not received a call to preach, but I was a deacon at the church where I attended at that time, and it just got to the point to where, from, you know, each unit would go out into their designated areas, and they would leave that area, and the services would continue on. And it came all the way to the point to where I got a chance to lead a meeting. And we only had maybe just days left before we went out to our area, but several souls got saved that night. And so after that, I was wondering, I said, Lord, you know, what are you doing with me? And we ended up in our unit, people asked me if I would lead a Bible study on Wednesday evenings. We had a chaplain service on Sundays, but during the week we had nothing. And so the battalion chaplain gave me permission to lead a Bible study on Wednesday evenings. And so we had our Bible studies on Wednesday evenings, but I really received the call into preaching ministry while I was doing guard duty one night up on a hill, and I was just praying, looking up, and I had seen stars. I never saw that many stars before. You know, we were in the desert.
Wow.
And there were no trees out there, no buildings, nothing. But on a clear night, I saw all those stars, and I really just felt the presence of the Lord there as I'm up there doing guard duty now all alone, and I could hear him speak to me and telling me that when I leave there, that I would go back to the state and that I would preach the gospel. And like I said, it actually started there on the desert. So I was ordained at the church where I was, and I preached there for a while. In the very next year, 1992, we started our church here in Montgomery, Miracle Deliverance Temple of Christ. And so we've been pastoring there ever since, and God has been delivering and healing and blessing people over the years. And we've just been seeing people grow. And we're still a small group of people as far as a church is concerned. You know, people say, is it a mega church? No, I wouldn't say that. But I believe that there's a lot of powerful ministry that is coming forth from that because of the number of people over the years that have been helped by this ministry. And, of course, you can learn more about our ministry and what we're doing by going to www.miracledt.org. Find out some things there about what we're doing, and also listen to and watch some of the videos that we have.
Okay. Give them that again. Give them your website again for the church.
It's just in miracle. Case yeah, miracle DT, DS in deliverance, T as in temple, DT.org.
Okay.
And out of that has come, you know, Operation Be a Miracle, which is an outreach to for benevolence, you know, helping people who have financial difficulties, people who are having trouble with housing, and also tutoring comes out of there whenever we can have, you know, people who are in need of tutoring, and we've done some of that over the years as well.
Amen.
And our outreach to the youth, which is, we call it NBA, where boys from 13 to 19 years old come every Monday to play basketball. But that's the church, because they get to hear the word of God. They pray. There have been boys to receive Jesus Christ on the basketball court. And so we teach them about integrity and good character and leadership, mainly for boys to understand this, because they are becoming men. And when they see that God has a purpose for their lives, they continue to come not just to play basketball, but they come to listen to how their lives can be changed to the point of fulfilling their purpose for the kingdom of God. And so we've been doing that for over 20 years also. And that's why we're looking forward to building our own gym.
It will come to pass. I'm just hoping and believing it. And I'm just, you know, because of your ministry that God has favored you so much with. I mean, as listening to your story, I just see favor, how God was setting you up almost for such a time as this. You know, that is so awesome to me. And
poor shy boy out of the country who didn't like standing before people. I literally just felt like I'm not doing it because I want to do it, but because I know there's a need to do it. And and God has just put me in these positions and given me the opportunity to share His word, because that's what I really enjoy doing. I like to teach. I like to talk about the Lord and His word and what He's doing, and to direct people to Him. So the need is there, and I don't mind being an instrument in His hands. And so when you're an instrument in the Lord's hand, he's not looking at how shy you are. He just wants to use you as you are faithful to Him. And so that's what happens with people who just love the Lord and just surrender to Him. You don't know where He's going to put you. Just follow Him.
That is so true.
That He's going to take care of it.
Yeah, that is so right, man. Because I want to ask you a quick question also. You know, with certain things that are going around, man, so much chilling and different thing, man. What do you think what do you really perceive as what's going on? I know you guys are probably the devil and everything, but what do you think we can do more as Christians to help curb some of this stuff that's going on, especially with the youth? And I know you mentioned basketball. That's a great, great academic thing for kids to get involved with, you know?
Yeah.
So what do you say about that?
Well, I also get out on the street. I call it on the street, but just out there among people, and I like to listen to what they're talking about and you know, what's bothering them. And oftentimes I hear a lot of folks complaining about the church and complaining about preachers. And I see they, you know, have such a misunderstanding about what church is all about, because they've seen a lot of bad examples. And so when I'm listening to that, I know that really the answer really is in the church, but then people don't see a lot of good examples of the real Christians. I think we, the real saints of God, need to just come out and get involved in the lives of people. And I'm talking about just what we call open market evangelism, just out there where the people are, and not always just confining ourselves within the four walls. Because
that's right,
people who are hurting, people who are living their life without purpose, they don't understand why they're here, and they get angry about things, and they don't know how to handle anger. They don't know how to have a good marriage. They don't know how to have a good relations with people. And the only way we're going to have good relations with people is that we first of all go to the cross, because the cross is a picture or a symbol of what life is supposed to be like. And what does that mean? The cross is it's got one part of it on the ground and the other part is lifted up to heaven. I consider that beam as being the that is prayer going upward. When we can have a personal relationship with the Lord, we need to, as a church, we need to point people to Christ. That's who the answer is. The answer is not in politics. The answer is not in many of the things that we're trying to find answers in. But if we can just point people to Christ, the real Jesus, then our horizontal relationships would be right. Because, see, that's the vertical relationship is with God. And then when we have a right vertical relationship with him, then the horizontal relationships will fall into place. Now, what we're seeing is that there's a lack of getting the gospel out there, the true word of God. And I'm really just talking about letting people know that God loves them. Amen. When I start sharing about his love, I see attitudes changing. And I see, you know, people beginning to stop and think that, well, that's what's missing in my life is God's Amen. Love. And so, you know, I listen to all of the complaining and the griping and people saying things about the church and about God because they misunderstand. They don't understand it. And so we just have to do what Jesus did. We just go out among the people, try to listen to them, find out what's really, an area in their life where they're hurting. And then we put the word of God on that. We're not trying to draw people to ourselves, not necessarily trying to draw people into our church. We have to let them see Jesus first. And I don't Dr. usually Mark, go out there telling. Yes, go ahead.
Yeah. No, we're going to take a short commercial break before our time is up, and we're going to come back. And I want you to pray with the people as well, and just pray with them that no matter what they're going through, that God still is able to deliver them from it all. We're going to take a short commercial break, and we'll be right back.
All right.
So let your power fall when your name is called. Prove the doubt turns wrong. Lord, you're still mighty and strong. So fight this battle for me and help my unbelief.
Okay, we're back with WKRP Live and my very special guest, Dr. Aaron Mullen. And everyone for listening to WKRP Live, and we're going to let Dr. Motley pray us out, and I'm going to turn it over to him. And if you would, everyone, just take time out and go to his website, and I'll let him give that as well, and we're going to let him pray it out. Go ahead, Mr. Motley.
First, I just want to thank you for, Cedric, for allowing me to be on your program on today, and it's been a real honor to speak with you and to those who are listening today. I hope that something has been said that would be a blessing to you, an inspiration to you, or even allow you to start thinking about your own relationship with the Lord. I know there's so many hurting people and people who are bothered about a lot of the things that's going on in the country and around the world, and even in your own personal life, you may not understand what is happening. Why is God allowing this to happen to me? Why am I going down this path? But, you know, I just want you to really just begin to think about your personal relationship with the Lord and know that, yes, he is real. And sometimes it takes just praying a prayer like I prayed, and that is, Lord, show yourself real to me. Let whatever I'm supposed to do, whatever life I'm supposed to live, Lord, you show it to me in your own special way. And so I'm just going to pray with you today that that you would be lifted up to Christ and you begin to see your purpose and see what it is that God wants to do for you in your life. And Father, I just lift up everyone in the audience today. I lift up those who are seeking a right relationship with you and those who may not know for sure what they're looking for, but they just know that there's an emptiness in their life and a void in their life. And I'm believing today, God, that you will fill that void, whatever it may be. especially those who are going through turmoil in their homes and financial difficulties and health problems and areas of their life where it seems like everything is tearing apart. God, there are so many people who are misunderstanding the things that's happening around them, but I pray in Jesus' name that for somebody listening, you would destroy a yoke and lift a burden and set somebody free today in Jesus' name, that they'll come to know who you are, and God, that you will bring light in a dark place and bring healing where somebody is hurting and bring deliverance where somebody is in bondage and held in captive, in captivity. And we thank you now, Lord God, for your deliverance power. Cast out every demonic force and every evil thing that is holding people in bondage in the name of Jesus. And we thank you right now that you're releasing your peace upon someone. You're releasing healing, and you're releasing your grace to somebody today to heal and bring them out of that bondage now in Jesus' name. And I lay claim to that, that somebody is free today, that somebody has come to a place where they know that they're going to be free in the Lord. And I honor you, Father, for this in Jesus' name. I thank you for this radio program now. I thank you for Brother Cedric, God, and him stepping out by faith to do what you want him to do, Lord God. And I pray in Jesus' name that you will bless this ministry and bless those who will benefit from this ministry, Father, that they will go out and step into their destiny. And for this we thank you for in Jesus' name, and we honor and praise you for that. Amen.
Amen. Amen. And Dr. Muller, I thank you so much for accepting my, I'm just so highly esteemed. I thank you for accepting my invitation to come on the show. And please come back again. Please do that for us.
I appreciate it.
And anytime, man, anytime. And this is WKRP Live with C. Miller. And whereas we're about to go off, remember what he said. Always remember the greatest commandment of Christ is love one another as he loves you. So do that in Jesus' name. And I'm C. Miller with WKRP. Have a nice day.